Good morning, church. What a beautiful anthem. Powerful. I really appreciated Pastor Eddie's reference to headlights in a car. Because on my way to St. John's a couple times this week, I dealt with fog. And it was thick. Thank God for headlights. I want to talk about seeing things this morning and our ability to see. The summer after our family moved here to Pennsylvania, we took a trip with some church members to a place called Cherry Springs State Park. It's an 82-acre park in Potter County, Pennsylvania. So just to give you an idea of where Potter County exists, it's roughly 60 miles northwest of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It's sort of in the center of the state, almost to the New York state line. This park is known for having some of the darkest night skies in the entire East Coast. It has almost zero light pollution. And on a clear night, you can see roughly 10,000 stars with the naked eye, including the Milky Way. Now, I want to compare that to what you and I normally see on a night sky or in a night sky. We see about a few hundred stars, maybe in an urban area. If you're lucky enough to live in a rural area, you might see 2,000 to 3,000 stars, but nowhere near 10,000. There is an observation field at the top of a mountain when you get to Cherry Springs Park. And people from all over the world bring their telescopes, their blankets, their chairs, just to look up at the sky and to experience the heavens. I have to say it was a very magical experience for our family. You know, we live in a world in which busyness, productivity, activity, and achievement, they happen to be the modern idols that we worship. The things we think will bring us peace, serenity, and wholeness are the very things that often alienate us from awe and wonder. And they alienate us from the mystery of God. Somehow we're convinced that if we work hard enough, if we push long enough, and if we persist aggressively enough, we can obtain in life what we want. That we can save ourselves. And all the while, we are exhausting ourselves. We're depleting our energy. And we're alienating ourselves from the mystery and goodness of life itself. Now, I'm not suggesting that we quit working. I'm not suggesting that we quit planning. I'm not suggesting that we quit the activities that bring us joy. But what I am suggesting is that we've managed to push mystery, awe, and wonder to the very edges of our lives. this experience of transcendence, otherness, has been pushed to the fringes. A recent article in the New York Times quotes psychologist Dr. Keltner, who says, "We live in a moment of cultural narcissism in which we become super self-absorbed. And it prevents us from getting out of our heads and experiencing the awe and the wonder that surrounds us. We cope with a series of daily distractions, interruptions, and they prevent us from that mystery and tranquility, that sense of wonder and mystery. And our appreciation for God gets lost, or is only available in rare glimpses. Upon hearing the news of Jesus' birth, tradition tells us that three, scripture said magi, but later tradition sort of informs us that there were three magi, three wise men, wise people. They were probably Parthian political officials or court priests. They were from Mesopotamia, modern-day Iran. This group was caught by something they observed in the sky. That star. And they were caught by its magnificence and its splendor. It brought awe and wonder and curiosity. Something had invaded the ordinary sphere of life. Something broke through, and they surmised that God somehow was at work. A new king had been born in Israel. And so they set out on a journey to see for themselves this unfolding of the divine. And what I find particularly significant is that it wasn't enough for them just to learn about Jesus. No, they wanted to go and see. They wanted to take the trip. They brought gifts. And they found themselves in the midst of awe and fascination. Author and mindfulness teacher Sharon Salzberg indicates that we cultivate awe through interest and curiosity. You've all watched a child who is captivated by something, and you can sense that their eyes get larger. They smile. Something has captured their lives, this sense of awe and wonder. That's because kids are so curious, so open. Around the time of the First World War, there was a pastor who started out in a small congregation in Switzerland. And he was very aware that his parishioners were working in these factories and in these mines. And he wanted to somehow help his congregation, as well as the larger church, see how God breaks through the ordinary. This was about the time of World War I. And he observed that God seemed to be pushed further and further and further to the margins of life. He noticed that science, rationality, confidence in self-achievement, they were being promoted as the cure for civilization. Modern civilization, some argued, could save itself. This pastor who started out in this small congregation in Switzerland, his name is Karl Barth. He became one of the greatest Protestant theologians of the 20th century. And as one author writes about Barth, he says, the conundrum for Barth was that modernity needed to be taken seriously, but the only theologies that took modernity seriously no longer took God seriously. And yet, as the world began to unravel during World War I, it became very clear to Pastor Barth that the logic of modernity, this logic of progress, had a shadow side, a demonic side, a dehumanizing side. Pastor Barth kept noticing this, and he kept noticing this rise of Nazism and fascism in Germany. And he actually spoke out against it. It lost him his faculty position at a German university. But Barth contended that there is a reality, anotherness, something beyond us that is God. And this God is beyond human reason, understanding. This God is cloaked in mystery. This God cannot be contained. This is the God who breaks into the world, who reveals God's self, for instance, as a helpless baby in a manger, tearing open time, being born in Bethlehem. It's this breaking into the world, this breaking into time, that caught the attention of the wise ones. It made them want to make the journey. Later in 1928, Karl Barth, Pastor Barth, shared a symbolic story that was later told by an American pastor named Eugene Peterson. It's a story about how we might experience the revelation of God and how we're sometimes blinded by it. So this illustration begins, and it goes like this. Imagine a group of men and women in a huge warehouse. They were born in this warehouse, grew up in it, and have everything there for their needs and their comfort. There are no exits to the building, but there are windows. But the windows are thick with dust and never cleaned, and so no one bothers to look out. Why would they? The warehouse is everything they know, has everything they need. But then one day, a child drags a step stool under one of the windows and scrapes off the grime and looks out. She sees people walking on the streets. She calls to her friends to come and look. They crowd around the window. They never knew a world existed outside of their warehouse. And then they notice a person out in the street looking up, pointing. And then soon a bunch of people are out on the street. They're all looking up. They're talking excitedly. Well, the children look up, but they're in that warehouse. And all they can see is the roof. They finally get tired of watching these people out on the street acting crazily. But those people out in the street were looking at something. It could have been geese in flight. It could have been cumulus clouds. The people in the street look up and see the heavens and everything in the heavens. The people in the warehouse, they have no heavens above them, just a roof. What would happen? What would happen, though, if one day one of those kids cut a door out of the warehouse, coaxed her friends out, and discovered that immense sky above them? This is what happens, writes Karl Barth, when we open the Bible, when we hear the stories. We enter this incredibly unfamiliar territory of God's disclosure. Life in the warehouse never prepared us for anything like this. Typically, adults in the warehouse scoff at the tales the children bring back. After all, they are in complete control of the warehouse in ways that they never could be outside. And they want to keep it that way. So I say to my fellow brothers, sisters, and siblings in Christ, pay attention. Stay curious. Be open. Keep praying, because God is still speaking. God is still moving. God's light still shines in the midst of so much. And that, my friends, is very good news. Amen.